So this is Sparkle On. Sparkle is your happiness, passion, and self-worth. And this show is all about where passion equals purpose and purpose equals change. You, Natasha Moore, equaled the epitome of Sparkle. And so I really wanted to have you on to discuss your amazing career journey. But I know you're going to inspire listeners to either discover or reclaim their sparkle. So thank you for joining the show.
God, I love your everything. I love everything that you're doing.
Thank you so much. And thank you for dressing in sparkles. I love when guests come and like come on the theme and like support it. It just means a lot.
Honestly, I had the sparkliest, most crazy dress and I was like, I can't wear that. I have meetings today. So I was like, okay, I can close it up so that it's not too, but it's, yeah, thanks. I'm going to sparkle today.
See, part of my mission in life, though, is to be able to just show up to the grocery store in, like, a sparkle gown.
I love that. Have you ever done it?
No, not but yet. I used to school, like, show up to school in, like, tutus, like, pink tutus.
Oh, my gosh, you were that girl.
Yes, because I loved Valentine's Day.
Me, too. Oh, my gosh. Did you buy Valentine's gifts for everyone?
I would like do the Valentine's Day cards with candy and everything, but I would just try to encourage everyone that it wasn't a holiday of loneliness. Like, yes, we know it's accepted by Hallmark, but like, come on, can we at least celebrate love and like the holiday of pink and candy?
Dude, this is what my whole brand is about, love. And yes, like, my whole ethos in life is literally just about love.
Well, and for the listeners that don't know, Natasha Moore is a visionary, started out as a visionary makeup artist, global makeup artist doing makeup for brides all around the world, and then started her own company, Natasha Moore Cosmetics.
Yes.
And you are in Sephora all over Southeast Asia. Your brand is quite literally about empowerment, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But can you at least tell me what it was like starting out as like a makeup artist?
Oh, of course. So makeup artistry is what fueled the fire within me to just want to give love to everyone around me. I was always like this as a kid. But as an artist, I was able to just impact people so much more because I was working on their faces. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you feel about this, but every time I would get my makeup done or I would do someone's makeup, they would instantly, it wasn't just like a confidence boost that they have, but they suddenly just became nicer to everyone around them. And I realized that, oh my God, makeup can actually make someone different on the inside. They can actually, not just on the outside, it can just make them feel so much more comfortable with being themselves and then showing that love. So for me, artistry was just the start to something bigger.
And then it's so interesting that you say that. So you grew up in Hong Kong, correct?
Yep.
And so how did makeup influence you then as a kid?
Oh my gosh. You know, I think I was just born with it because as like a, like in grades, I don't know what it is here, but like primary three. Mm-hmm. So I went to an English school, so British standard. And like when I was like 5, 6 years old, I'd be doing my teacher's makeup. So I think always was that little girl. I would do everyone's hair and makeup in university in London. I was like the girl you would all go to get your blow dry before you go clubbing and like do everyone's makeup. So it's always been in me, but I never wanted to make it a career. Because at the time, like 10 years ago, it was not such a cool thing to do. And all the makeup artists that were out there was very much, it was not something everyone did, you know, right. It was very rare. And then you had either really top of the line makeup artists, like celebrity top of the line, or you had people who were working in salons. So you didn't really have a middle ground makeup artist that was like young. And so I was 24 when I started.
Okay.
I was working in fashion and PR before this. So I was running an incredible PR and marketing agency for someone. And working for someone, I realized I couldn't. Like, I was doing too many boss things. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I want to do this. I want to be a makeup artist because I would do it on the side for other people. And it was that, I remember I did a girl's makeup for her prom and she won prom queen. And she was like,
wow.
I never imagined. She was bullied. She never imagined to have actually won. And I was like, oh, wow. I gave someone that confidence. And then it kept happening. Mm-hmm. And I grew up really insecure. So I never looked in the mirror and said, oh, my God, you look good. Or I would only criticize myself. So when I was able to see the impact it had on someone else, that's when I was like, this is magic. I'm going to drop my whole life and become a makeup artist.
And it's what I love about you is that you really just feel inclusive of everyone that you bring around you. I think I have such a weird relationship with makeup as it relates to when I was growing up, because for a long time it was like, oh, like, you're not allowed to wear makeup, especially. And then like in high school, I was like able to wear like the eyeliner, but only if it was from the Indian grocery store, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like,
oh, you mean from your parents?
Yeah.
Allowed to.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And yeah. But then it was interesting because I would go to different like functions, or I would get my makeup done, and then I would have to bring my own foundation, or like they didn't have my shade. And that was always really frustrating to me.
Super, yeah.
Or it was like they would have it, but it wouldn't be the exact shade,
yeah,
because my mom's white and my dad's Indian. Mm-hmm. And so I have different undertones depending, yeah, on the season of the year.
Yeah.
But where I really felt empowered with makeup was when I became an Avon lady in the eighth grade.
You did?
That was like my first go at entrepreneurship.
Cute.
But here's the sad story.
That's cute.
I appreciate it. My sister never lets this story go. But one of the things they said that you could have makeup parties, and it was the holiday season. And I loved the makeup. Like, I loved the green and the blue eyeliners. I loved having fun with it. I loved the sparkles, obviously.
Of course.
And it wasn't about makeup to enhance my features. It was about makeup to have fun.
Okay.
So I set up this makeup party. I invite all my mom's friends. I invite people in the community. And it's like a couple days before Christmas, but no one shows up. And I have this all set up.
Poor baby. This is so sad.
And I'm glad it happened, because it really taught me about the relentlessness of entrepreneurship, mm-hmm, and creating something that people need. And maybe I wasn't reaching the right demographic. Maybe people didn't see my vision as far as being an Avon lady the way that I did. But I think I learned that from a young age, and you embody that.
Thank you.
So can you talk about like essentially making that switch? You said that you worked at a PR and marketing, mm-hmm, firm, but then you really went after the makeup artistry and leaning into starting your own brand.
Yeah. Well, so the whole journey just kind of, it happened because I had the support, obviously, of my family. Because, mm-hmm, growing up in Hong Kong and Indian culture, my parents were actually very supportive. My dad was always like, look, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life, right? We've heard this. I mean, now I'm kind of like, I work a lot and I love what I do. But it's a different kind of feeling. Like, I was up till 3 a.m. yesterday just working, mm-hmm, because I love it so much.
Right.
So that transition from working in PR and marketing, I've actually used everything that I learned from that. So first of all, I don't take anything as a mistake, or, you know, I don't look at it as like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I should have just gone into makeup artistry, because I learned how to do PR. I learned how to work and do events. And now I host so many events myself. And so I think that from that progression to the artistry side, it was a jump. No one trusted me at first, because I was like, when I first started artistry, I was like 23. 24 is when I officially decided, okay, I'm quitting my job and leaving. 23. So how do you trust someone with, you know, who's that young at that time?
Right.
Not that it was that long ago. It was like 10 years ago, but still, no one was doing it, right? And I was this young girl. But there was one aha moment for me. I think it was when I got hired to do the sister of a bride, the sister-in-law of a bride. And she was so lovely. She was like, no, I really like your makeup style. And I was like, like 23, this is a wedding. Like, how can you trust me, you know? But then I did her makeup, and the bride actually ended up not liking her makeup from her makeup artist, because it was very old school, like,
okay,
exactly what you're saying, super cakey makeup,
right,
or like a different match. And she was like, no, I want her to do my makeup. This young 23-year-old, I want her to do my makeup. And I was like, okay. So they ended up, the next day was, you know, 3 days Indian wedding.
Right.
So the day I did it was like the Sangeet. The next day was the wedding. So imagine the sister-in-law calls me. She's like, you're doing the bride tomorrow. I was like, what? A bride? What? I can't do this. What? And she's like, no, you're doing the bride tomorrow. Fast forward so many years later, it's such a cute story. The sister-in-law is now an incredible makeup artist in India. Like, she was never an artist before, but I guess she always had it in her because she understood talent. At the, not that I'm saying I'm super talented, but she understood a different style of makeup that wasn't there. And so now she's a makeup artist. Her name is Seema. She's amazing. And her sister-in-law, the bride who got married, is now a friend of mine. And we ended up connecting because obviously so many years later, you kind of get pulled apart and, you know, go on with your lives. I forgot completely about the story until I became gluten-free, sugar-free, dairy-free, and she started making all these incredible gluten-free wraps. And when I spoke to her, she was like, do you know I was like your first bride? And I'm like, what? This is crazy. And that's so, awesome. I don't know if that answered your question, but that was like a whole journey of what really kickstarted the artistry for me.
Well, I feel like that describes a lot of the ethos of what I believe Sparkle to be is like, when you lean into your passion and your fire, you really do bring other people along with you, whether you intend to or not. And it's so interesting how leaning into your craft has inspired someone else.
I hope it was that. I hope it was me that inspired her. But I actually think that she doesn't realize that she was an inspiration to me.
See how that works? That's amazing.
Yes. I mean, I didn't know that. For her to trust me also, and then for me to grow into this global makeup. I honestly, after that, I believed in myself because of it. So she gave me that confidence. And then everyone started to get to know me because I was posting. I had my own blog. Like, I don't know what it was, Zanga or whatever it was called. But I had my own beauty boudoir. It was what it was called. And so people started to trust me. And at the time, social media, I had Instagram, but I would just post pictures of my clients and people started to fly me all around the world. Wow. So I would be like in Monaco one day, in Italy the next day, in Turkey, in freaking Whistler, like random places. And obviously Thailand, Bali, all that like on a regular basis. So every week I was in a different country.
That's amazing.
It was wild how that just like happened.
And to your other point, I will say I'm wearing Natasha's lipstick right now. It's called Moneymaker.
Yeah.
So all of her names are empowerment, like phrases or words.
Yes.
But I will say a lot of the stuff, because I love matte lipstick, but it's too cakey.
Yeah.
It feels like I'm just painting my lips and I can't get it off at the end of the night. This is not cakey at all. It's super smooth. Like,
thank you.
Kind of like buttery.
Thank you.
But you made it long lasting for these Indian weddings.
Yes. I actually have two formulas. The one that you have is the silk suede. We also have a molten matte, which lasts like forever because of these brides.
Okay.
Because, you know, Indian weddings, 10 a.m. to like 10 a.m. the next day.
And for listeners that don't know, can we actually go into what Indian weddings are?
Oh, my goodness. So my life was at a wedding every week and I had to.
Wow.
So it became so cool that I was so young, right? And I was traveling, hopping around the world. I guess I've never told this part of the story in any of the interviews I've been in, but one of the, you know, what happened was a lot of people would be like, she's going from wedding to wedding. So a lot of designers recognize that. And so I'd be wearing clothes. Mm-hmm. Then they would sponsor me. So people would ship me over clothes. It was almost like every week was a red carpet event for me at weddings.
That's amazing.
And then jewelry. And then it became really stressful because I'd be like, I remember once I was in Florence and this jeweler sent me diamonds and I was like, oh my God, I can't lose it. I'm working and I'm going to, you know.
Yeah.
So it was really cool because I got to do all these fun things as well. And I say I'm kind of like an influencer before influencer was a thing, right? Because I was posting about all these designers and jewelers. But that kind of goes back to the ethos of the brand as well, which was uplifting everyone around me. It was like, how do I get exposure to all these people? Mm-hmm. You know, that was something that was interesting to me. And that's kind of what translated from artistry to the business.
No, I think it's what I love. And I love stories where the craft really does become kind of this, your own little empire, right? And it's because you follow something that means something to you.
For sure. So much purpose.
Yeah, but you see it changing other people. I mean, you're doing it on what's arguably the most important day of a bride's life.
Yes, exactly. And also how vulnerable they are because, you know, if for those of you who don't know what Indian weddings are like, Indian weddings, for a lot of people, their families save up all their money to send their daughter off to get married.
Yep.
And that pressure for a girl is overwhelming, right? Because you're for someone who doesn't like the limelight, just think about people who don't like to, who are introverts.
Yep.
And who are constantly, you know, like, oh my God, or insecure about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to feel small, and there's thousands of people, hundreds of people around them, looking at them, mm-hmm. complimenting them, kissing them, touching them, taking photos with them. It's a lot.
And it's for days on end.
And it's for days and hours, and they don't sleep. And so I wanted to be their best friend. That was my goal. I was like, I don't have any siblings.
Okay.
I'm always trying to make friends with everyone because I feel like that's what I love. I love love. So with my brides, they became my sisters, and I would treat them like that. So I would be like, okay, I'll be here for you. I did a whole photo shoot for them. I made them red carpet ready every day for their wedding.
Yeah.
But the formulas was something like I could not use products that were in the market. Everything didn't suit their skin tones.
Uh-huh.
Nothing was moisturizing. Nothing was long lasting. I never used foundation on my brides. I would mix and match concealers to give them like a nice clean base.
Okay.
Because I found foundations too heavy and cakey.
Right.
And so when I would do this, my clients would be like, okay, whatever you did, I need to do this on a daily basis. And then I would be like, guys, I mixed and matched like 10 different things. And I would actually pack them in little boxes, like little containers, and be like, here's lipstick shade one for you. And it'd be like mix of MAC, Armani, like all the brands, NARS, like everything kind of combined into one.
That's
obviously, I'm like playing as an artist.
Right.
Until I said, okay, no, I want to launch my own brand.
Right.
And that day happened when, I mean, obviously it's something I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to be a businesswoman, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, how do I create my own brand? So the thought came into my mind, and then I just focused on it, and I was like, I'm going to make this happen because that's how I am. And so I kept going. I was married at 25, so I was married very, very young. And I tell this story, young not for Indians, but young for the rest of the world, I think, for a lot of us. And for me now, I definitely look back and I'm like, wow, I was young.
Yeah.
Married young. I also got divorced at 28 or 27. And that journey itself was really, really traumatizing and challenging because I wanted to do something to empower myself by letting go of a situation that I wasn't happy with.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I was getting constantly criticized for it from mm-hmm. like the public, the people who are now following me and my journey, because I'm a woman. I'm an Indian woman.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't be traveling. I shouldn't be leaving my husband at home, and I shouldn't be working. And because I was traveling to all these countries, apparently I was sleeping with all these people to get the money that I was launching to get the money that I had to start this career. And it was so hard on me mentally, but I believe everything happens for a reason, including that. Like even that pain was so powerful for me because that meant it inspired me to prove them wrong, one, but also prove myself right in this theory. So I kept saying makeup makes a big difference on people. But then I was like, Natasha, are you just being superficial? Like, it's just makeup. It's literally a product you put on your face. That's all it is. You're sending the wrong message. You're telling women that they need to wear makeup to feel beautiful. What? No, that's not okay. Then I was like, look, I have two options. I can go live in the mountains and forget everybody. And really, I was like, okay, I'm going to try and go to a silent retreat somewhere for 6 months. For those who know me, they're like, silent. Really, girl? You talk so fucking... Sorry, I don't know if we can swear.
Oh, you can do it.
Okay. You talk so much. There's no way that you can go to a silent retreat. And I was like, I'm going to prove that wrong.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I already know that's the attitude about you, but like the way I resonate with this is on a whole nother level. I was quiet in the fifth grade for like an entire afternoon because someone thought I couldn't win the silent game. And I won two ice cream coupons at the end of that.
Oh my gosh. And look at us now. We both have podcasts. Yeah, actually, that's so funny. Where was I now? I can't remember.
Going to the mountains.
Oh, yeah, to the mountains. Okay, we'll go back to the mountains and be quiet and just find myself or do something that will really impact people who don't have the money to pay me thousands of dollars, which I was so luckily blessed with by these clients who were trusting me. Because obviously at that time, I became like one of the top five global Indian makeup artists, which meant right. I had this incredible, crazy fee and all these requirements, which sounds very diva-esque, but it was necessary to build. Yeah, I was building my worth. And I got a lot of shit for it too. Like, she doesn't come from a rich family. How can she charge X amount of money for this? And I was like, because I can, because that's the work that I brought to the table. And that's the impact that I brought to someone. And yeah. And so the other thing was, how do I do this for people who don't have the money?
Right.
Because I didn't come from a very wealthy family. And I know the love that I gave myself through my power of makeup. So, and I've always wanted to give back. That's always been something I learned from my mom. She's always giving orphans all my clothes when I was growing up, like everywhere. So for me, it was like, this is something I need to do. So I came to LA. I didn't know what Compton was or where Compton was. And I worked with drug and alcohol rehab centers. I went to San Diego and worked with women's shelters. And when I say worked, I literally went there and did everyone's makeup. That was it. I just went and did their makeup and made them. And then obviously, you know, you're in these shelters. You don't know how they're going to respond or react to things. Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit sensitive because they're in hiding from these cartels.
Yeah.
So as soon as I sat on the chair and, you know, I was scared to talk to them. I don't want to instigate any fear in them. I was like, how do I do this? So I just did their makeup. And literally they'd be like scared, sitting, you know, nervous. And then suddenly they looked in the mirror and it was like, selfie time. I'm like, what? This is amazing.
Oh my God. This is like emotional.
Oh. Well, it was, yeah, that's for me. It's so cheesy. But when someone looks in the mirror and smiles like that, for me, I'm like, I don't know how they feel like this. I never used to know. So to be able to feel that for someone else, for me, was just power. I was like, I have superpowers. I don't need to go to a silent retreat. Maybe one day. Maybe one day.
I don't think so.
I don't know. Well, I'm into the whole healing spiritual journey, so I might do something. Maybe not 6 months.
Yeah, like a small duration. I want to go back to your philanthropy side because I knew you do a lot with human trafficking and domestic violence survivors. But specifically as it relates to our culture, I really resonate with it a lot of ways. I mean, I think you being also on the internet and having such a presence and a platform probably deal with so many more opinions, but it really sparked this memory of not just Indian weddings, right? But the weight, not in a bad way, of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And you were married very young.
Yes.
And so I resonate with this because, you know, my parents' love story, they were basically high school sweethearts. They were each other's first, the whole thing.
So cute.
And growing up, like, that was the standard. Mm-hmm. So, like, when I went away to college, which, of course, my grandmother wasn't happy about, but I was, you know, I was recruited. I wanted to run in college, and this was the school I chose. Like, when I got on campus and got my first boyfriend and then was broken up with by Thanksgiving, like, I'll never forget. I feel like that's when I felt the weight of my grandfather's death, which happened years prior. But my grandmother was married at 14.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And I remember just like looking in the mirror and like feeling like a failure. I was heartbroken and rejected from like the guy that I really thought like I loved, but It was so much more than that. It was quite literally like I felt like I let my family down. Like when I called my dad right after it happened, he even asked, like, did you think you were going to marry him? And it was like, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because how did you raise me? Like, it's just in my blood to care.
Yeah.
And I know that's like one of my best qualities is to care.
Yeah, of course.
But I think it really set off this set of relationships that just I kept falling into very abusive situations and patterns.
Mm.
And I also know that at some point in these healing journeys, you do want that spark back, mm-hmm. Where you can look in the mirror and it doesn't matter who broke your heart.
Yeah.
But sometimes coming out of those times, I felt like other relationships would suffer, whether it was a friendship, whether it was intimate relationships. And I know that you started your makeup company basically while that divorce was happening. Did you feel like when you were starting this company and coming into your power again, that you were able to let go of some people in your life?
I think it's constantly happening, actually.
That's beautiful.
You have to let go of people because you're not, every step of your journey, it doesn't mean that you get more successful and people drop out. It's not even that. I just think your alignment with people is very different because you change so much.
Right.
And I don't necessarily think my ex-boyfriend, my ex-husband, my ex-anything was bad.
Mm-hmm.
We were just different.
Right.
And we were not aligned. Mm-hmm. And that only, I guess, once you do the work on yourself, really, you start to see those things. Mm-hmm. Because for me, one of the things I realized through all of this was every time I would get upset at someone for something, and it's only been a recent thing that I've discovered, it's obviously because I'm upset at myself also mm-hmm. for it, right? Like something I need to recognize within myself. So anything that instigates me or anything that like triggers me is probably something I need to work on myself.
Yeah.
And it goes back to this whole idea of perception and thinking about, well, if someone is pissing me off, I'm not saying like, you know, they didn't do anything wrong. Of course they did. Of course they did. Of course I did too. Mm-hmm. We were just two different people. So everyone who drops off in your life had to drop off.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess how also with the volume of the internet and the mm-hmm. stigma that exists against Indian women and even divorce in general, how did you maintain that spark through it all?
You think I maintained a spark?
I mean, look at you. Girl, you are glowing.
Thank you. No, that's the part of social media that I try to really be as authentically me as possible. Because when I was getting a divorce, I was so insecure. Because imagine people were coming up to me and saying things like, if you were my wife, I would divorce you. You can't travel so much. Like uncles saying this shit to me,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I'd be like, what? So no, I think I was really rock bottom low and I went into severe mental health issues. I was suicidal at one point. I just came out about this in my first episode of my podcast because I was so scared to talk about this because as Indian women, you're not allowed to talk about things. It's so taboo for you to say anything about how you feel, what you've been through, or what you think is right. And I was so scared to talk about it. And so people knew, obviously, but everyone was talking about me. I feel like the more vulnerable and open and authentic I became, people started to really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were less haters and more like, I mean, there were some who were like, you know, screw you, you know, but there were some that were like, I'm going through the same thing. And I would get essays from women, essays and essays and essays. And the best thing about it was I would say, I'm here to help you, but I'm not an expert. So I have so many healers that I work with that I can like, you know, therapists, healers, whoever that can really help you. And so that's kind of how my wellness healing journey started.
I feel similar. I think when I was first becoming a writer and experimenting with my voice, whether that was on Instagram or through poetry or whatever it was, like I never did anything perfectly. But it was the exploration of expression. And it was met with a lot of hate, but then I love how specifically women do come together, and it might be through the quiet version of like essays through DMs mm. or small mm. notes that you just, someone tells you that like your voice mattered.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's what got me through those really dark, dark times is even when I had family members judging,
yeah.
it's like, someone out there who doesn't even know me
mm-hmm.
believes that there's power in what I'm saying. So yeah. how could it be wrong?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that really, do you really think that that lifted you at that low point?
Yeah, I think it made me, I wouldn't even say lifted, it made me curious, right?
Okay.
And by curious, I mean that I was open to being a student for the rest of my life, right? Like I didn't know how to write, but I knew I wanted to write. So then I was open-minded to putting myself through grad school. And I was not a school person. Like okay. I barely got my college degree because I was partying too much or too distracted.
High five.
Hell
we're
yeah.
So similar. We're very similar.
I love that. But it yeah. doesn't, like, you know, a diploma doesn't determine what you're going to be able to do yeah. and your purpose in life.
Mm-hmm.
I think having the knowledge to stay rooted in what you believe in
mm-hmm.
is important, but for just sure. use it as a direction and like maintain the curiosity. I think one of the hardest things is when the moments get so dark and you don't even want to be curious anymore.
Yeah.
And that's where I think the advocacy and the resources and the healers and the therapists come in, yeah, because people do get to that point.
I've been there.
Yeah, I've been there too.
Yeah.
And I never want to go back.
Yeah.
But my life looks different now. Like, there's healthier people.
Yes, exactly. And that's the dropping of those people that led you to this.
And it's so scary how other people can influence you to get to that point too.
Yeah.
And I think that's where your work with Do More and your philanthropy efforts with specifically domestic violence and human trafficking survivors is so inspiring. Sparkle actually started out as a sexual violence awareness movement.
That's how it started?
A long time ago.
Wow.
And then
we should do something together.
Yeah. I mean, it's now rebooted as this podcast because I think ultimately I cared about the story and like, this is my journey.
Wow.
But I wanted it to be a bracelet, and it will be a bracelet one day, but I want someone to be able to pick up their phones in an accessible way, or, you know, hear it on TikTok or whatever, that it's a reminder of your sparkle, that nothing can ever dim your light. And I know it was born out of these severe, dark moments of grief that were related to sexual violence. So like, when you say that you're putting actual sparkles on someone's face and they're looking in the mirror, like your lipstick. Okay, so listeners, Natasha's lipstick container. So like I said, I'm wearing Moneymaker.
Do some ASMR.
But there's a mirror on these lipstick containers. And now I'm like looking at myself. But I'm showing you guys too. Is like, I think that's so valuable, not from just the logistical standpoint of putting on lipstick, but it's a reminder. Like, when I put this lipstick on, like, I was just reminded of that childhood love where I was curious to understand like what makeup can do for me,
mm-hmm,
but then also just like, you know, what sparkle is, bright colors.
I love that.
And yeah.
And that's actually why the shade names are affirmations, because I want you to speak it into existence. Like the shade you have on, do you want to say what it is?
Moneymaker.
Yeah, exactly. So like, I want you to manifest that. I truly believe that what you say to yourself comes to life.
Yeah.
Especially, I'm actually writing my book.
Ah,
I've been writing since 2018, my story, and I just keep dropping off and stopping. And so as of last week, I don't know what happened to me. I'm like, I'm rewriting the whole story from today, backtracking into my journey. And I actually realize how much I've manifested and made things come to life.
And I'm so happy that you're writing. It means a lot to
me. I need your help. I'm not a writer.
Well, there's going to be some, I wasn't going to announce this, but here we go. There's going to be some sparkle writing workshops that we're rolling out next month for my birthday month. So I will, hopefully you can come. And if you're in LA, and we'll try to make a virtual option for people that aren't in LA.
Nice.
But one of the things that I love my professor, when she says, is have the deeds digested. I used to get so mad at her. I used to be like, Carolyn, like, I don't need my deeds to digest. I just want to write this. And like, you know, it's the girl boss. I hate that word too, but that
you hate the word girl boss.
We're not going into that. I love it and I hate it. But it's just that attitude of like, I want to get it done.
Yeah.
Right. I want to get it done for other people. There was a breaking point that I experienced because I was trying to help other survivors, other student survivors on my campus. And I didn't help myself. And I realized until I started writing in a way, like when I first started, I started writing in my diary because I couldn't make sense of the world around me.
Mm-hmm.
And I only wanted to write to make sense of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's okay as women. I think it's 100% okay to do things for yourself. And that's when the writing really came to life. It really progressed. That's when I started being able to put out publications and things like that. And so this journey of you going on and off with your manuscript, it should be like that.
Okay, that's good to know.
Because you're digesting these things, right?
Yeah.
And your perspective is going to change, just like you said, with partners, and your partnership with yourself is going to change.
That doesn't mean
you don't put something out.
Yeah.
It just means like some things do take a perspective to look at.
Yeah. That's very true. I mean, I'm a different person, I think, every month. Like in a good way. I actually really like the person I'm becoming. I keep saying this. I'm like, I'm like, I took myself on a, I started a Natasha Moore Cosmetics solo date campaign where I really want to push this out there because I used to be so shy to go out for dinner by myself until I got
it all the time.
You do, right? Yeah. But like in Hong Kong, in Asia, like we don't really do that much. I can't speak for everyone, but I know that it's not something that's done. And until I got dumped and cheated on when I was in LA, I'm like, okay, obviously, what do I do now? How am I going to? So I would go on a different date every day with different guys. And then I obviously met my amazing fiance, but still, I never really took myself out on a date. Like dressed up, felt sexy. You do this?
Oh, I'm in a very committed, loving relationship. He just lives in Pennsylvania and is moving here in September. So like, I kind of actually have no option. I mean, obviously I can go out with my friends, my best friend.
Yeah.
But like, but sometimes different. I just actually enjoy it. And I know she does the same thing too. Yeah, my best friend. It's like,
so
yeah.
Cute.
Yeah.
No, so I've never really done that until recently. And obviously I have a fiance, like we go on cute dates together all the time, but recently he's been traveling and I've been taking myself out on, I've been getting dressed up. I went on a hike. I was just having so much fun by myself that I was like, damn, this is, and one of the campaign ideas, like wear your Natasha Moore Cosmetics, get ready in like 10 minutes, you know, concealer, lipstick. I do a whole quick 5-minute routine. And get out and feel freaking good about yourself. Wear the shade that you want to wear. Wear CEO, wear game changer, wear hustler, wear drive, wear self-made.
Yeah.
Wear moneymaker.
I love that.
And take yourself out. And I went and I had such a good time. And I sat by the bar, I had a drink, and I was so cute. I'm gonna do it more often.
So listeners, the call to action from this entire episode is put on a shade of Natasha Moore lipstick. And take yourself out and then actually share what you're doing. I feel like I'm going to wear this out and go get myself an Aperol spritz.
I love that.
Yes. I feel like that this is the vibe. Like
the moneymaker vibe?
Yeah. Like Aperol spritz. It's like, yeah that's what I'm going to do.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm going to go get a glass of red wine, which is my standard.
Love it. I'm a rosé drinker.
Mm-hmm.
Then I moved to LA and I started drinking orange wine.
Oh, I actually haven't had any good orange wine here yet.
Oh, it's, I love it. If you can get yourself like a hand on like good orange wine.
Okay,
yeah.
Try.
Yeah, everyone has
we'll
good.
Go, yeah, we'll go for an orange wine date. I mean, it defeats the purpose of a solo date, but we can
talk about the solo date that we're going to go on after our date.
Erewhon is my favorite date place, honestly.
Oh my God, this could accidentally become an Erewhon ad right now.
Sorry.
But I avoided you. That place for so long.
You did?
When I moved to LA. Well, because you just heard about the $30 smoothies.
Yeah.
And then you have one.
Exactly.
And then you're like, what is happening?
Exactly.
It's the best place
ever.
It
is so good. It's my favorite place. It's my Disneyland.
Also,
for me, like, whenever someone says, this is so expensive, or this is not good, or this is not good, or this celebrity is no good, I don't like to listen to them because you don't know who the person is or who the brand is or what the brand is until you actually meet the person. Or same thing with Erewhon.
Oh, right? I believe that, especially when it comes to the celebrity. Like,
yeah,
a lot of people talk about people out here, and I'm sure I do it too, but like, you don't even know them.
You don't know. And I know a lot of people who are talked about, especially in Bollywood, and they're all really good friends. And I'm like, they're not at all like that. I mean, hello, I'm a nobody. And I got talked about. There was like a price tag or like there was a price list out there on how much you could pay to sleep with me.
Wait, what?
I'm a makeup artist. Yeah, that's how bad it got when I got a divorce. It got so messed up that this little girl inside was like, what? And my mom would get calls from people like, oh, I heard she's dating this guy. I heard she's sleeping with this guy. I heard she's dating this guy. I heard her new Chanel bag is from here. My mom's like, do you know how much this girl works? She's literally sleeping on planes. But people just wanted to put me down. Of course, there were so many people that also lifted me up. But there were a lot of haters on what I was doing. And
wow.
Yeah, it was really tough. But so after that point, I'm like, I am trying. This is what I'm trying to do. I don't want to judge anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like even the Uber driver who was so rude to me right now, the only reason I was upset was because I'm always nice to Uber drivers and everyone around me. And I literally make friends everywhere. So even this time I'm like, okay, why is he being rude? He must be going through something. But I don't understand it. And so in my head, I'm so bothered by someone who's rude, but actually It's probably just going through something.
I've gotten my best life advice from Uber drivers.
Oh, me
I'm
too.
Not gonna lie.
And like, Lyft.
And Lyft, yes, both. But I definitely agree with you that like when that happens, it's someone that's going through something. Mm-hmm. But I can't believe, I mean, I know the stigma's bad, right? Mm-hmm. With around divorce in our community, yeah. But oh my God.
Mine was a little extra because everyone goes through that. But I feel like mine was a little extra just because I was flashing my life mm-hmm. on social media, mm-hmm. right? I was in a different country every week. Obviously, people are going to be like,
and now your makeup's in a different country every week.
I wish. I hope so. I mean,
well, it is in Southeast Asia and Sephora. Yes. So can you tell us how to like, what's the best way to support your brand?
Just by, okay, as cheesy as it sounds, my whole thing is pay it forward. Be nice to another person. Be really good. And just be kind. Like make a friend, lift them up, support them, help someone with their business. That's my core ethos of my brand. Mm-hmm. I love that. Also, trying the products would be really great because then you'll actually understand it. Before I even sell it to you, you got to see it to believe it. We just launched a limitless, an eyeshadow palette called Limitless. Mm-hmm. I did a collab with this diamond brand. I was actually thinking you should do something with that.
I love that.
Yeah, right? I don't know if you could see it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so they wrote Limitless on here because I created this palette when I was in the darkest place of my entire life. Even after this divorce, after all this shit people said about me, I hit even more of a rock bottom point after I got out of a relationship. I was so lonely. And I was like, everyone kept saying, how are you ever going to get married again? Because that's mm-hmm. the stigma. It's yeah. like, you know, how are you going to ever get married when you've been married and no one's going to marry you again? Because mm-hmm. you're like, what was it? Used goods or some shit like
that. Yeah, I am.
So this Limitless palette came to me when I was like, it's an eyeshadow palette. It's refillable. It's so beautiful. And I created it because as a makeup artist, I was lugging around like bags of eyeshadows. Like literally, I travel with all these lights, 60 kilos of equipment.
Yeah.
I would do photo shoots for them and everything. And so the eyeshadow palettes, I'd be like, this is such a waste. I never use any of these colors. I only use this one palette.
Right.
And so many people resonated with that. And then I would do pops of colors. So I created this palette. It's refillable as well. So it pops out. You have to check it out. The reason I'm telling you the story is because the story of my whole journey, you can actually tell from the beginning of my products. The names were like Conquer, Game Changer, Hustler, Ambition. And now the eyeshadow palettes are like Thoughtful, Humble, Evolve, Energy. Like you could tell I've done some work on myself, and the palette that I'm creating now, this is kind of the kind of messaging that I want to put out there. So my point with that is to support the brand, I want you to feel the brand
yeah.
really from within. And I don't want you to wear it if you don't like it, if it doesn't make you feel good.
Well, it's a story too. I think that's what's so interesting about you is like, and just in comparison to other makeup brands is mm-hmm. like, you know, sometimes they put a celebrity behind it and they just have, you know, beauty masterminds like come in and just blow it up.
Yeah.
But whereas yours is real artistry of kind of formulating that story. And what I know and what I resonate with so much about your mission is that really goes it's going to go hand in hand with your writing, right? So I also yes. use writing as a way to inform product development, campaigns, different things, and they go vice versa. And yeah. that is truly the power and essence of creativity,
yeah.
of how that weaves together. And what I also want to inspire more listeners to realize is like, just because you were a makeup artist for years doesn't mean you couldn't be something else, mm-hmm. right?
So like true.
We go through phases.
Yes, exactly.
And it's yes. cool that you're able to do that with your products, but also just even telling your story. Like you have all these chapters.
I have. Yeah, it's a fun, it's interesting. And I feel like I'm so excited for the rest of my life now, because before, like I said, I went through severe depression and I was like, I don't see my life continuing like this anymore. And when you hit that rock bottom point, you're like, how am I ever going to see the light? And so obviously there are up and down days, ups and downs in your journey. But what I will say is, okay, we launched in Sephora in Southeast Asia, for example. We're in Singapore, Malaysia, Philippines, Hong Kong. We're in Dubai. We're launching in Dubai right now with Nysa.
Congratulations.
A brand new retailer. Really excited to work with them. Nykaa in India mm-hmm. has put us, literally you open the door of the store and It's our brand next to Dior, Huda, Charlotte Tilbury. And I'm such a small baby brand.
Wow.
So for me, I feel like when I talk to makeup artists that are like, oh, I wish I could have a brand one day, you can. Mm-hmm. And just speak to people, because you shouldn't. A lot of the industry is very competitive, where they don't like to support each other or they don't like to lift each other up. Mm-hmm. And I'm really trying to make it a point to get people to know, reach out, ask, speak to whoever you want to, and the right people will help you.
That's true. I mean, that's kind of like community does follow. Like, yeah. How much it is about building community too. I mean, when you do something that is changing something,
yeah,
it follows. People follow.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, no. And then
thank you.
What was that moment like when you first were able to get into Sephora? Because I mean, when we were younger, we shopped at Sephora and Ulta. Like,
yeah. Sephora was a dream. I remember I'd be running on my treadmill, right? Running at the gym, and when I was getting a divorce, working on my divorce body, my revenge body, I'm like running up the hill. And all I could, when I closed my eyes to visualize, because I went crazy, I used to love running, which is why I was like, we need to know more. I would run up the hill, and the vision that I had, for some reason, was this big Sephora.
Aww.
I'd be running up towards a Sephora, and I didn't know why. I was like, am I that crazy? Like, I want to buy makeup all day. Is that what's wrong with me? Because I didn't have a makeup brand at that time.
Yeah.
I was just like formulating stuff and developing the products, but it wasn't an official brand.
Right.
And I would just run up to a Sephora in my mind. And so when we launched in Sephora, I truly believe I manifested that. I don't know how I got there, but I'm so blessed. And I'm so blessed. I actually have a podcast with the beauty director of Sephora as my co-host and my best friend.
And you just launched it.
And we just launched it yesterday. So yeah. I'm really excited about that. It's called The Beauty Manifest.
Tell us about that.
It is really, we met because I slid into her DMs.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So,
which is why, reach out when you want to get help or anything from someone. And this was at my low point when I was in LA on a business trip. Mm-hmm. I slid into her DMs and I was like, hey, I'm here. I have a makeup brand in Sephora in Southeast Asia. I'd love to meet with you. We met. We fell in love. We spoke about spirituality, about beauty, about life, about clairvoyance. And I found out she was clairvoyant. So it was just a beautiful combination for both of us. And then we became besties. And now we have such a purpose-driven ethos for our brand, for us, that we want everyone to just feel like they have somewhere that they can relate, some people that they can relate to, people they can get inspired by. It's the same as you. Honestly, we're all doing this for our purpose.
Well, and then so how has spirituality kind of actually motivated you or pushed you in this new chapter of your journey?
First of all, I have to say it, being super authentic is my new thing. And you guys are going to hear my tummy grumbling because I haven't eaten in 2 days. I was so busy, I forgot to freaking eat.
I told you I would take you to lunch after this.
No, but I'm actually hearing it. I'm like, oh my God, it's grumbling so much.
I hold, no, shut your listeners up. Listeners can't hear it.
Maybe. Just, you know, it's that loud.
I cannot hear it.
You're going to hear it.
And the equipment's good, but it's not that good.
Just telling you. Anyway, I think it's important to be very authentic in yourself. And I forgot your question.
Yeah, I was asking how spirituality has motivated this new journey of yours.
Oh my, I think it's always been there. I didn't believe in any of it until I got my divorce. And then I had this amazing healer that kind of guided me through it. And I also think it's a lot of self-work that you need, because I never actually went to a therapist. Because again, that's not something you do with our community. You don't speak to a therapist, which I actually think I want to. It's very helpful. But I found my version of therapy through spiritual healing. And that's been a beautiful journey for me.
When you're talking about healers, what are you referring to?
Everything from of course, there's past life regression, childhood trauma. Mm-hmm. I think childhood trauma is a big one.
Oh my gosh. That's the other thing Carolyn, my professor, used to say, is everything goes back to childhood.
It does.
Have the deeds digested and it always goes back to childhood.
It really does. And I think I see it more now than ever. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to look at it like, I don't look at it in regret. Like, oh my God, that happened to me because of this person. I recognize the reason why I am the way that I am now, because of all the things that happened to me. All the trust issues I have, I thought it might come from my parents, or, you know, you automatically assume those things. But as I dug deeper, I realized it was also the friendships that were around me.
Absolutely.
And they're and it's not their fault. Some of them are still my best friends till today. Mm-hmm. But when I look back, I'm like, wow, that really hurt me. But I didn't heal as a kid. It affected me. And now I have trust issues with everyone, not because of them, but because of the situation at the time.
Well, I think it's also the lack of communication. It's not knowing how to express these big emotions, because as a kid, these emotions are huge.
Yeah.
Right. That one fight with a best friend can honestly be how you communicate with other friendships in your adulthood, and you kind of have to unlearn all these things.
Yeah. Communication is so important. And I was lucky that my dad's like a communication expert. He's written a book called The P Factor, which means the people factor, understanding how to deal with people.
That's really interesting.
He's amazing. But still, as a kid, I wish they taught this in school, like how to actually communicate,
mm-hmm.
how to actually talk about what you want and be honest. And I feel like now it's getting better, I think, with children. I don't know. I don't have children yet. But I see it with my friends' kids, and the way they're raising their children, it's beautiful.
Well, I think the stigma of mental health is getting better.
Yes.
And I think, you know, that's why I believe the arts are so important, is because when you don't know how to communicate, you can at least turn to some sort of creative outlet to express yourself, that you're not doing anything in a harmful manner when the voices are too loud.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's plenty of adults that don't know how to communicate either, and they never will.
Exactly.
Because they're never taught. So I think it comes down to like all generations. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people who are much older that don't want to learn. They don't think that they need to. Mm-hmm. It's that stubborn mentality.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But hopefully the ones who are listening that feel they need healing, everyone needs healing.
And it's like you need healing at different phases of your life too. Mm-hmm. It's not like got over that like childhood memory. I'm good for the rest of it. It's like, no, like everything's fluid.
Yes.
And I think that's what, even with my own healing journey, that's what I have found so much excitement in, whether it's acupuncture, mm-hmm. whether it's therapy, whether it's Reiki, like these different modalities are so important to understanding who we are in the time period that we're in.
Yeah.
And then it's like about maintenance. And that honestly, like that's sometimes even the differences between Western and Eastern medicine. Mm-hmm. But it's really fascinating to me, and I'm glad you resonate with it.
I attract that energy, by the way, and I feel like you do too. I think at this point in our lives, one thing I've recognized is you become more magnetic to the things you want when you've healed certain things. Because the people I'm surrounded by are just like angels who have the same sort of vision or energy, really.
I think we're also using the word healed as like we're over it.
No,
confrontation of it. It's like, I'm just like at this point where I just want to handle things head on.
Yeah.
Like not all the time. Like there's different points of times where I you know, I mess up in my communication, don't get me wrong. But at this point, because of the different things that I want, the exploration with my projects, that is that spiritual side of knowing that I must do A in order to be able to achieve B.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I noticed something so crazy. I don't know if we have the time, but you have an ace of spades on your arm. Is there a reason for that?
That's a really long story for like another
day. Okay, never mind. Because something very weird I will just say. Yesterday, someone told me that I was an ace of spades in like some card reading thing.
Oh, a tarot reading?
It wasn't tarot reading. I don't know what it was, but it was like she was just pulling out a couple of cards on an app, and she was like, you're an ace of spades. You're a double ace of spades. And I was like, what does that even mean? And I'm seeing an ace of spades in front of me. So we're going to have this discussion later, if you want.
Well, I'll do a condensed version.
Okay.
So, I've as a kid, I was always really fascinated with the game of blackjack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people, they think when they go to the casino, that it's just all luck. Blackjack has a specific strategy.
Like blackjack. Yeah.
And it has the chart. And if mm-hmm. you follow the chart, I've watched my father's friend, you know, he professional gambler, like he memorized it. It's mathematical.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you look into the history of cards, it's based in religion. It's derived from tarot. It's all these different things, and it informs the 52 deck. But I research cards all the time. But I, in college, there was someone who deeply hurt me and betrayed me. Their nickname was Ace. And it was kind of like this start of Sparkle. And when I started this writing journey, I started noticing a lot of like gambling and blackjack metaphors coming out.
Okay.
And I kind of think of colleges as the house. And so the rule is in gambling is the house always wins. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you do if the house always wins? You either walk away from the table or you build your own casino.
Oh.
And so I wanted to, you know, in most games, Ace is the most powerful.
Yep.
But what a lot of people don't know, and I forget where I've come across in my research, so it might not be appropriately cited, but historically, Ace also, this Ace of Spades specifically, sorry, represents forgiveness. And I know that that is one of my superpowers because I ended up going back to that person and forgiving them. Not for them, for myself.
Yeah. And I love that. You and I are so vibing. It's crazy. Yesterday, I said I'm going to get an Ace of Spades tattoo next.
All right, let's go to the tattoo parlor
right now. You don't know me.
I would do it right now. I will literally go get another one with you. Okay,
so let's do it. I'm serious. I have like...
Let's eat.
Yes. My tummy's going to grumble more. But I'm serious. If there's a tattoo parlor, I really want one.
Let's go do it.
All right.
It's a great day. I'm going to like move away from the microphone.
Oh my gosh.
So all you listeners, you've just witnessed the roller coaster. Wait,
where should I get it? I have so many little ones. We'll discuss this later. Yeah, it's too long now. Sorry. It's a great conversation.
But maybe actually, can we like develop like a Ace lipstick?
Yeah. So I feel like everything is a message. I was just in Vegas last week with my dad. He loves to gamble. I was playing blackjack.
Love that.
I got lots of aces and they're like, Ace is the best card, blah, blah, blah. So that was already in my head. Then yesterday, this chick tells me you're a double Ace of Spades. And I was like, what does that mean? I know Ace is the best card. Like all these things kept coming to me. And now I'm here sitting with you today. So I might actually do something. And I'm someone who loves to forgive.
Ooh, a palette that is all gambling metaphor and a lipstick.
My father will be so excited.
Your father will be wearing the makeup.
He will love it. Honestly, wow. Yeah. Or maybe like a cool casino collection or something like
yes.
that. Ace of Spades. Yeah.
I love
that. I actually have a deck of cards.
Okay.
That's conversation cards.
Yeah.
I was going to bring it to you, but we're out of stock right now.
Okay. You told me about that. Okay. Yeah. Wait, before we wrap up, I want to know about these conversation cards.
Okay. It's called No More, like K-N-O-W, my name, More. And it's basically just random questions that you pull out and talk to strangers, Uber drivers, everyone. And I do it because I don't like small talk and bullshit. And I clearly like to talk a lot. So I want to pull out these cards and like chat with people, get to know them on a deeper level. And that's what our brand is about. Like getting to know you and people around you on a deeper level.
I love that.
Thank you. So maybe we will do some casino Ace of Spades party.
I love that so much. And I think there's a lot of power in gamifying things. And that world is so fascinating to me. So the fact that you're being playful with your art too is just... It's making a lasting impact, and I'm so grateful to have you quite literally sparkling with us today.
Thank you. I'm really grateful to be here. Thank you so much. This was one of the best podcasts I've been on. I've been so thrown away, like blown away by you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Listeners, I will be linking all of that makeup in the show notes. And posting all about the wonderful products Natasha has created for us.
Cool.
Thank you so much.
Can't wait for you to try it.
I'm so excited. Okay.